Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up? I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Prep. What's up, team? Today, we're diving deep into electrolyte imbalances, focusing on hyponatremia and hypernatremia. Get ready to learn because this stuff is like totally tubular for your success.
That's right, Chris. First up, let's break down hyponatremia, which is when serum sodium levels drop below 135 milliequivalents per liter. This can sneak up on patients in so many ways. One classic scenario we see in surgery is cerebral salt wasting, often after a traumatic brain injury or subarachnoid hemorrhage.
Ooh, cerebral salt wasting. That's a gnarly one. Picture this, a 30-year-old dude after a traumatic brain injury, sodium 120, he's hypovolemic, and paradoxically, he has a high urine output. So, Mars, what's the diagnostic setup for cerebral salt wasting?
Great question. For cerebral salt wasting, you're looking for hyponatremia with high urine sodium and osmolality alongside that hypovolemia. Now, here's a crucial differentiator. How do we tell cerebral salt wasting apart from its tricky twin, syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone, which is another cause of hyponatremia after brain injury?
It's all about volume status. With cerebral salt wasting, you're looking at hypovolemia. But for syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone, the classic presentation is a post-op patient with confusion, a sodium of 124, but they are euvolemic on exam. Their diagnosis also shows low serum osmolality, but they have an inappropriately high urine osmolality, and again, they're euvolemic.
Spot on. The treatment is key here too. For cerebral salt wasting, since they're losing volume and salt, you need to restore that with isotonic fluids. If symptoms are severe, you might even bust out hypertonic 3% saline. You can also give salt tabs and sometimes fludrocorticosteroid. Fludrocorticosteroid is a mineralocorticoid that helps retain sodium and water. But for syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone, giving isotonic saline alone can actually worsen the hyponatremia, because they retain water and excrete sodium. Instead, you need fluid restriction, and if severe, cautious use of hypertonic 3% saline. Salt tabs or a loop diuretic can help, and you always got to treat the underlying cause. For refractory cases, vaptins, which are vasopressin receptor antagonists, can be considered.
All right, let's keep it moving. Another common culprit is thiazide-induced hyponatremia. This often hits elderly women on hydrochlorothiazide with dizziness and low sodium. Hydrochlorothiazide, a thiazide diuretic, inhibits the sodium chloride cotransporter in the distal convoluted tubule, which can lead to sodium loss, often with low potassium. The fix? Stop the thiazide, give gentle isotonic saline, and replace any low potassium or magnesium. Just don't restart that thiazide later, or it's a recurrence party.
And don't forget psychogenic polydipsia or beer podomania. These are often psych patients or heavy beer drinkers who present with seizures, and their urine is very low in osmolality. They've got maximally dilute urine due to excessive water intake or low solute intake. Treatment? Fluid restriction, and if symptomatic, slow correction with cautious hypertonic saline. Crucially, for both these and other hyponatremic states, the golden rule for sodium correction is to increase it no more than 6 to 8 milliequivalents per liter in 24 hours. Why? Because a rapid rise can lead to osmotic demyelination syndrome, also called central pontine myelinolysis, which causes locked-in syndrome.
Osmotic demyelination syndrome is not cool, so go slow, team. What about when hyponatremia is mixed with other electrolyte weirdness?
Like adrenal insufficiency, think Addison's disease, hypotension, hyperpigmentation, low sodium but high potassium, and often hypoglycemia. Diagnosis is low morning cortisol and high ACTH. Treat with hydrocortisone and isotonic saline. The hyperkalemia is your major clue to differentiate it from syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone. And lastly, don't get tricked by hyperglycemia, which causes translational or pseudo-hyponatremia. In diabetic ketoacidosis or hyperosmolar hyperglycemic state, your sodium might be 128 with a glucose of 600. You got to get the corrected sodium with an equation by adding about 1.6 milliequivalents per liter for every 100 milligrams per deciliter glucose over 100. The sodium will normalize as glucose is controlled with fluids and insulin.
All right, let's flip the script and jump into hypernatremia. This is when your serum sodium is higher than 145 milliequivalents per liter. The most common cause, especially in the elderly or ICU, is just plain dehydration. They'll present with altered mental status, dry mucosa, and a high sodium, like 158. The diagnostic clue? Their urine is appropriately concentrated. Treatment is free water, oral, NG's tube, or IV D5W.
And speaking of free water, let's talk about the big guns, diabetes insipidus. We've got two types, central and nephrogenic. Central diabetes insipidus often occurs post-pituitary surgery or traumatic brain injury. These patients have polyuria, polydipsia, excessive thirst, and high sodium, but their urine is super dilute. The diagnostic trick is they respond to DDAVP, that's desmopressin, a synthetic ADH analog that acts on V2 receptors in the kidney to increase water reabsorption. Treatment is desmopressin plus free water replacement.
And on the flip side, we have nephrogenic diabetes insipidus. Classic presentation, long-term lithium user with high sodium, dilute urine, and no response to DDAVP. This occurs because long-term lithium use impairs the kidney's ability to respond to ADH. How do we treat this?
You gotta stop the lithium if that's the cause. Otherwise, the treatment involves a thiazide diuretic along with a low-salt diet and sometimes amiloride if it's lithium-induced. Amiloride is a potassium-sparing diuretic that blocks sodium channels in the collecting duct, which can help with lithium-induced diabetes insipidus. And for all hypernatremia, remember the correction rule. Decrease sodium no more than 10 milliequivalents per liter per day to avoid cerebral edema and herniation.
Don't forget iotrogenic hypernatremia. If your ICU patient is on 3% saline for an increased intracranial pressure and their sodium is just climbing, well, you found the source. The fix is to stop the offending source and slowly introduce free water.
All right, team, that's a lot of knowledge bombs we just dropped. To make sure this info sticks, here are some high-yield facts for your shelf prep.
1. Traumatic brain injury with hyponatremia and hypovolemia equals cerebral salt wasting. Treat with isotonic fluids. 2. Traumatic brain injury with hyponatremia and euvolemia equals syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone. Treat with fluid restriction. 3. For hyponatremia, limit sodium correction to 6 to 8 milliequivalents per 24 hours to avoid osmotic demyelination syndrome that leads to locked-in syndrome. 4. Thiazide diuretics can cause hyponatremia. The fix is to stop the drug. Thiazides are also a risk factor for pancreatitis, hypertriglyceridemia.
5. Hyperglycemia leads to pseudo-hyponatremia. Correct sodium by adding 1.6 milliequivalents per liter for every 100 milligrams per deciliter glucose over 100. The sodium will normalize as glucose is controlled with fluids and insulin.
All right, team, stay salty. Keep studying. We will see you next time here on Surgery Shelf Prep.
Later.